And let us turn in God's Word to Colossians chapter 2. I'm going to read the whole of the chapter again, specifically as we continue from last Lord's Day. We will continue looking at beginning at verse 16 through the end of the chapter. But this is part of a whole, so we want to keep that whole as much in continuity as we can. So let us read together God's Word, Colossians chapter 2, beginning at reading at verse 1. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. In him you are also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So let no one judge you in food or drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility or worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Thus far, the reading of God's Word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it this morning. And brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at God's Word this morning, we need to understand that we have in Christ the fullness of what we need. We as human beings, even if we reflect on what we were just talking about with regard to the first commandments, so often think we need more. But we have to understand, we need Christ more than we need our next breath. We need salvation in Jesus Christ more, and we have more in him than all of the things in the rest of the world. We so easily get caught up on what we have here. And God says, no, you have the fullness. We need to be encouraged, being knit together in love as the church. One thing that we are to be as the church is a body, is a family, loving one another. There are some among our number who don't have spouses, some people in our culture have problems with desires for the wrong gender. They ought to have a family in the church of God, even if there is brokenness, because we are all broken. We are the body of Christ. We have that love for one another. We have the fullness of that in God loving us. And we are to be steadfast in that. And yet it is so easy for us to run after the ideas of this world, to say, no, man has great ideas. Man has things to tell us that God didn't tell us about. Well, perhaps God didn't tell us about them. God didn't tell Adam and Eve what it meant beyond sinning, other than that it was going to lead to death, did he? Because he told them what they needed to know. And brothers and sisters, God tells us what we need to know. Yes, perhaps we talked about at the funeral. Many of you weren't there. But we talked about the funeral. Oftentimes we want more, to know more. Doubting Thomas said in that passage in John 14. We don't know the way. How can we know how to get there to heaven? And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Trust and follow Christ. Follow after the God of the universe, who sent His Son to dwell among us, to give His life for us. Romans chapter 8 reminds us that if God gave His Son for us, He's not going to short us in other things. How much more with Him will He freely give us every good gift? And yet we're easily pulled aside. Beware, verse 8, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. What do these things do when they pull us away from Christ? They cheat us. And God puts it all in there, doesn't it? Philosophy. That we can reason ideas, and we can come up with ideas, can't we? We sure can. But those ideas lead away from Christ so often if they're not in service to God and to His glory. And empty deceit. Paul just calls a stone, doesn't he? They're just lying at you. And yet there's so much of that, just to pull you away from the gospel. We need to be rooted. We need to be established. The tradition of men. We so easily follow after traditions. If you've done it twice, it's a tradition, right? That's how it works out. And we need to say, no, why are we doing these things as Christians? And yes, good traditions are a great thing. We don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. But we need to be careful that we don't accept rotten, dirty bathwater, because we've always done it that way. Or according to the basic principles of the world. What's that? Science. Science tells me. Well, how often do they change their ideas with regard to science? They can't tell us what gravity is. They have no idea. There's an attraction between particles. Every particle is attracted to every other particle. Why? We have to understand that. And so as those raised with Christ were to hold fast to our risen Savior and to reject man's teachings, the devil's teachings, we need to be rooted and established in the faith. We need to realize that we have all that we need in Christ. In union with Him, we are raised from spiritual death. And this morning we look at that last point, that we are dead in Christ to the basic principles of this world. And that's why I wanted to look at that, because Paul gives us a foretaste there in verse 8. He says in conclusion in verse 23, "These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion, false humility and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh." All of these ideas, they look good. They smell good. Actually, usually, if we're really on top of it, we ought to smell a rat. Because these things are not good. And so we have to be careful. One of the first things he talks about is feigned religion. Jesus, having disarmed principalities and powers, made a public spectacle of them, verse 15, triumphing over them in it. We have everything that we need in Christ in salvation. So let no one judge you in food or in drink regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths. We have to be careful that we are not those who are judged externally on this earth if we are trying to be obedient to God. And some people disagree with us. We've been reading from the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Those of that background who are fairly true to the Westminster ideas hate the idea of any holiday except for the Lord's Day. Many of them do. They would argue heavily against us celebrating things like Christmas and Easter, Good Friday. But as you've heard me say numerous times, I'd much rather discuss with someone who's trying to be obedient to God's Word, to understand God's Word, that I disagree with, than someone who says, "I don't really care what God says." But we need to understand, if someone is trying to be obedient to God, then we don't need to spend time nickeling and diming with them over, "Well, I don't think you got that commandment just perfectly. I know better than you do." Well, we like to do that, don't we? "I know perfectly how you guys should keep the commandments. I don't do so well often myself, but you know, it's log in my own eye versus plank in my own eye versus speck in your eye." We so easily think, "I know better than you. So let no one judge you in food or drink," regarding trying to be obedient to God in regard to the days of the year. These were all old things, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the substances of Christ. If these people, if others, if you and I are seeking to serve and to love Christ, the substance is there. Not trying to be all about the exacting keeping of these different things. They're a shadow. They point forward to Christ. "Let no one cheat you," verse 18, "of your reward." Again, remember that idea that this is cheating us of our reward. This taking people so worried about different human things cheats us of the gospel, takes the idea off of the gospel and puts it on, "Well, do you understand the Sabbath the way I do? Or do you understand this or others?" Mark 2:21, Jesus said, "No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old and the tear is made worse." We don't try to patch the New Testament with the Old Testament teachings of the sacrificial system and of the ceremonial laws and of these and that. We learn from them, but they don't go one-to-one onto the New Testament. "Let no one cheat you out of your reward." The things that he talks about there are do not have their substance, or the following things don't have their substance in Christ. They're false. What does he say? Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility, in the worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, taking delight in false humility. As we read in verse 23, these things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-opposed religion. Well, I'm better than you. I'm more humble than you. Isn't that just backwards? But we get there. Because we're human beings and we so easily do that. Or in the worship of angels. When people are confronted with angels in the body, the angels always deflect the worship to God, not themselves. Just one example in Revelation 19, verse 10, "And I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, 'See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.'" We don't worship angels. We don't worship human beings. We worship God. As well, intruding onto the things which they have not seen. How many people want to tell us about stuff that they've never heard of, they've never seen? Tell us about heaven. I don't know if you've ever heard of this book. It was real popular a while back, Heaven is for Real, by this kid. But he since has said that wasn't at all true. The Bible is full of people who died and rose from the dead. God does not give us in the Bible a single speech about what heaven is like from those people. Because what does Paul say in 1 Corinthians? "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man." We've never seen anything like it. We've never heard of anything like it. And we can't even imagine what God has prepared for us as his people. And so we don't seek to intrude on things God has not revealed to us. Some things are far too wonderful for us. Some things are in God's court, God's abilities, not in our place to understand, to think about. We need to be careful. There are so many people who are vainly puffed up by our minds. And we can easily get involved in that too. Notice the wording there, vainly. What does that word mean? We've been reading, if you've been reading along with us in Ecclesiastes, vanity, vanity. What's that word? What does that mean? Empty. Blankness. Of no value. Well, guess what? Being puffed up by our own ideas is empty, is of no value. These people think that they know something special. They try to tell us they know something special, but they've got nothing. Rather, what are we to do? Verse 19, "And not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by the joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God." We so easily think we've got to grow up based on the ideas of man. No, we hold fast to God, to the head, to Christ. It is far better to hold on to Christ than any of these human ideas. And guess what? God is the one who nourishes us. God is the one who knits us together as the body of Christ. And we are different parts of that body, ligaments and joints. And we receive that increase given to us, provided for us by God. And to me, I don't know about you, but the lesson I need always to go back to is David. David How long did he wait? God had promised him that he was going to be a king when he was a little kid, 8 or 9 years old. Maybe less. Could have been 6 or 7. How old was he when he became king? It was at least 40 years later. We as human beings think, I need it now, yesterday. God does things in his good time, and he provides and he nourishes us over his good time. And what he provides for us is far better. We talked about using illegitimate means in the catechism. We have to be careful that we don't try to do it our own way. Think of Abraham taking... I can't think of her name. But anyway, his wife's servant to raise up a seed that God had promised, right? You all know it, and I can't remember it. But doing it our own way, right? No. God will take care of us. God will provide for us. And so we need to be careful not to be cheated through self-imposed rules. We died to Christ, to the basic principles of this world. We have to realize that. And it's so interesting that that's how God puts it. Because the basic principles of this world work differently than the world works for us as Christians. Because God cares for us. Yes, from an external perspective, gravity still holds us down. But God provides abundantly. God gives and does not relent. God provides richly and abundantly. And so we have to understand that the basic principles of this world are directed and governed by the God who loves us, who died for us. And we died, therefore, to the basic principles of the world. And so as though living in the world, why do we subject ourselves to earthly regulations? To the ideas of man, don't touch, don't taste, don't handle. Which all concern things which perish with the using. This stuff we have is here for the service of God, for His glory. And we so easily join in and judge ourselves, not by our growth in spiritual things, but how we keep an earthly set of rules. It's easy to make up a set of rules. It's hard to live based on Christ and on the gospel. To trust in Him more than I can do this, I can do that. That's what the Jews loved to do. That's what the Pharisees were all about. Did you know that there's a rope wrapped around the light poles on the outside of Manhattan Island? You know why that is? Because they call that their fence. And so you don't go outside of your fence on the Sabbath day. We're going to get around the Sabbath rules. There's a Sabbath feature on 75% of the ovens which are built today. Because they want to get around God's rules. Full well, Jesus said, you teach your own traditions to avoid the commandments of God. All this stuff is going to perish. Most of it with the using of it, as soon as we touch it. But these commandments are doctrines of men, not of God. And we need to go back to God's word, to God's teachings. Yes, this does not throw aside the Ten Commandments, the moral law. But we have to understand that those Ten Commandments are to be understood by us as those God gives us to live in thanksgiving to God. Not to save ourselves. Not to appear then better than other people. Because I do better than y'all, don't you know? (Laughs) They have an outward appearance of wisdom, of self-imposed religion. They have this false humility. They have this neglect of the body. But they are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. All of these rules which the Israelites came up with, which we so easily can come up with, don't help us, because at the other end of it, we still indulge our flesh. And the fact is, we are called to live for God, to use our bodies, our lives for God. He owns them. Go back to the first question and answer the catechism, in life and in death. And so, brothers and sisters, we need to understand what we have in God, what we have in Christ. That we have in Christ all that is necessary for life, for salvation. We have the wondrous grace of God. We have eternal life. We have purpose in this world. And we have to be very careful that we are not cheated from the comfort, from the gospel, by these ideas of man, by false religion, looking religiously important, by philosophy, by lies, by traditions, by scientific study. Instead, we are to hold fast to Christ, the Savior, who gave himself for us. And there is no change in the gospel just because it's 2021, don't you know? Gospel's got to change. That we can't believe that old book, can we? Most certainly. And it speaks to us today just as clearly as it spoke 2,000 years ago, as clearly as it spoke with Moses, with Abraham, all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And brothers and sisters, we are called and reminded not to be cheated of the hope and of the confidence that we can have in Jesus Christ, because we run after these other vain, empty, deceitful things that the world and even our own flesh throw in our face every day and every moment. But to trust in our awesome Savior, Jesus Christ, to hold fast to Him alone. Amen. Let us then bow our heads and our hearts before God's throne of grace in prayer, and we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Shall we pray? Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that we would be grounded, founded upon Jesus Christ. Yes, that we would use the things going on around us and understand them. But again, that they would be subservient to you, to your glory, to your honor. We pray, Lord, help us to serve you using the things of this world instead of serving the things of this world and using you. We pray, Lord, help us, Lord, to glorify and to honor you as our great God and Savior, that we would truly be grounded in Christ, in all that we have in Him, and that then we would be able to stand together as one body of Christ against the philosophies, the lies, the traditions, the scientific pulls and pushes of our culture around us. We praise you, Lord, that we can use all of these things, philosophy, that we can use words, that we can use traditions, that we can use science, but that we can use these things in service to you, and help us to do that. And help us to stand firmly upon your word, to glorify your holy name in everything that we say and do and think. We pray, Lord, this looking to your hand, and as well as we have the opportunities to bring our gifts, your tithes, and our offerings before and after worship, Lord, use them for the service of your holy name through the service of your church. For we ask these things in Jesus' name, praying as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.